Thank you. Good morning, River. Well, you've done a great job of bringing chaos to calm. We talked about a lot of chaos this morning, especially with the children, so it's worked out so far really well. So I'm going to be bringing you episode 4. I think I have a slideshow. Yes. Episode 4 of our vision series, and actually it's episode 5 because we snuck one in there last week about the miracle building, because I really wanted to do this talk and I wasn't here last week. It's the 1 week I was away at the Spiritual Health Weekend, and it was like, oh, and then Adam was great and put an extra one in so I could actually do this particular talk. So whether it's episode 4 or 5, what you want to call it, it is called Water the Garden. Part 1. So guess what next week's going to be called? Yeah, part 2. You're doing that one. Yeah, it's Adam next week. And it's around Genesis 2:10, where it says, a river flows out of Eden to water the garden. Just making sure that's working. Yeah. On my phone, it looked really odd. So I'm glad it's working on here. So I'm going to be speaking about this side of the banners, where it says formation. And I don't know about you, but when Adam, for the first time, mentioned the word formation, I sneakily looked it up on my phone. I didn't know what it meant. It might just be because I'm German and it's not a vocabulary piece that I've normally used. But for those who don't know, it's also another word for development or growth. Yeah, there you go. Not just me then. Phew. And it's just because we want all of you to grow with God. This isn't just something we've come up with as a leadership team because it makes pretty slogans on banners. It's actually something we feel really strongly about, and we want to take all of you on a journey and have all of you grow with Jesus, wherever you're at, whether you've been a Christian 5 minutes or 50 years. That makes no difference. It's for everyone. So God always has opportunities for us to grow. And I find the more I go deeper with God, the more I want. And it's, you know, even if you're comfortable in where you're at, I challenge you to just give it a go, step in a bit deeper, because I find it's always worth it. There's always something new to find and something new to discover with God. And let's just briefly rewind to Adam and Eve. They got to be in the garden with God. And the garden was watered by springs that formed the river. And Adam and Eve physically got to drink from the river. And I think that's really cool. Though I do not recommend that you drink from the Thames. So fortunately, as Beth talked about 2 weeks ago, the river is no longer a physical river. It's actually inside us, and it's the Holy Spirit. So how do we get watered by the Holy Spirit? And how do we get watered by Jesus? And the answer to that is pretty simple. It's by his presence. And that takes our most precious resource. And that's not money. It's time. Time spent with God in his presence. And that's where it all starts. That's how we get filled up and go deeper, and then we can flow out towards this side of the banners, the community. We've talked quite a lot over the last 2 years or so about spiritual disciplines, but really you could just call them, instead of disciplines, you could just call them time spent with God. Because these spiritual disciplines are the tributaries, the word that Beth struggled so with 2 years ago. Let's call them streams, shall we? Let's just call them streams. Those streams, they flow into our river and make it deeper. And that's what we're aiming for, to make everyone's river deeper. And here are just a few examples on how you can do that. And I'm going to be touching on all of those today, because we all need to make room in our diaries and in our schedules and in our heads and hearts to spend some time with Jesus. And before you switch off at this point, thinking, I can't do that, I've tried that, I've been there, done that, this is for everyone. And that's why I'm up here, because for those who know me, you know how busy my diary gets and how busy my schedule is. And I've struggled with 3 out of these 4. And I want to just bring some ways on how God has helped me push through and actually make more time, because I am so busy. Rather, to the dismay of my husband, that my schedule was so full. But God's helped me find pockets of time where I can spend time with him, even in the midst of everything that's going on. Just as an example, that's my diary last week. Starts at 5 in the morning, finishes about 10 at night. There's a lot going on in there. But again, there's pockets in there that God's given me on how I can spend time with him. I do schedule everything into my diary, because otherwise I get nothing done. I sit on a Sunday and do it all, so I know what I can get done and what I can't. But let's look at these four spiritual disciplines and talk about the barriers that you might encounter and how you can overcome them. Let's start with going to church. Each week, we give God a portion of our best time to focus on him and be with others who love him as we do. And you're here this week. You've done it. It's like, that's a good start. Also those on Zoom. I know my husband's on Zoom. Whoop, whoop. And for a lot of you, that's non-negotiable. And that's the same for us as a church, as a family. Like Sundays, it's non-negotiable. We go to church. Full stop. It's a reoccurring appointment in my diary that doesn't get moved unless we're doing outreach with the bikers, or we're on holiday, or last weekend I was on a spiritual retreat, which is still spending time with God, just not here. So but this, for us, that's an act of giving and of worship and serving and sacrifice, and also being part of a community where we are watered and fed by the people around us. And if that isn't a priority for you, then the question is, why? Why is it not? I'm not talking about shift workers. I'm married to one of those. But I'm talking about the kind of barrier that is because staying in bed is more comfortable than coming to church on a Sunday morning. I challenge you, if that's not your priority, to think about what that means or says about your commitment with God if you don't find coming to church as a priority. And I apologize if that makes you feel uncomfortable. I feel quite strongly about this. This is something that's, you know, always been in my diary. You know, that's something we do. And being German, I'm genetically disposed of being blunt. Or so my husband tells me. So, moving on from the uncomfortable bit, let's go to scripture. So, if you are not reading your Bible regularly, why is that? What is the barrier that's stopping you? You know, there's, you know, is it not accessible enough, or is it time that stops you? I mean, there's so many different ways to access the Bible. If reading is a challenge, which sometimes it is, especially in the Bible when it's really, really tiny print, you can listen to it. You know, there's the YouVersion app on the phone that is great. And if it's hard to understand, you can change the translation to something that speaks more to you and your language or the way you listen. Or you can sit with your small group or someone that is an avid Bible reader and have it explained to you. You know, I remember when I first became a Christian, most of the things didn't make sense in the Bible to me. And that still happens. And that's normal. And it's great because it means you're pondering if there's something you're reading and you don't understand and you have to think about it or talk to other people about. It's great because it means you're actually engaging with it. Or maybe time is an issue. That's always been it for me. Like a year ago when we did the spiritual health day here with Nancy Gowdy in Maidenhead, I said to God, I really want to go deeper with you. And God quite clearly said to me, you need to read my word. But then I get so busy. I get so busy. I get up really early already. I'm so tired in the evenings that I just cannot read at that point. But God is an answer for those things. And he has pointed me via people and technology in directions where I can fit reading the word into my day. So if I've only got 5 minutes, I use the daily devotion on the YouVersion app of the Bible, which just gives you a single line or like a single verse, then a video you can watch on it, and a short piece to read and a prayer. And I can literally do that while I'm brushing my teeth. It's that quick. I can do it while I'm brushing my teeth, and then while I'm having a shower, I can ponder it. So that's a really quick touch point, but it helps me every morning. And I've actually been doing that for the last year since that time with Nancy Gowdy, where I said, I really want to go deeper. And I found this daily devotion and thought, this is brilliant. Then the other option is when I've got about 15 minutes, I go to Lectio. I do need a bit more time and peace for that one because it speaks at you, but it's also things to ponder and think about. But it's a brilliant way to start your day, talking about a particular verse in the Bible and how, you know, we can live it out and challenges you on things and praise, and prayer as well. And if I've got half an hour, unfortunately it doesn't happen very often, but I can go to a Bible reading plan that I've started again, I can have that read to me from the YouVersion app, and I can listen or I can read in the Bible. I know people connect differently. Any of those are a brilliant way to start your day. You know, 5 minutes, it's all it takes to touch base with the Bible. And it doesn't have to finish there. At the end of last year, Carrie very briefly in one of her talks mentioned the evening devotion that Lectio does. I didn't even know it existed. And it's amazing. That is, you know, it's one of those things where I heard that just at the time when I needed to hear it and when I needed to find it, because I was listening to an audiobook every night to go to sleep. It helps me go to sleep, helps me to switch off, and I love reading, but I'm too tired to read, so an audiobook it was. And now I listen to the Lectio evening devotion, and it's just so wonderful to finish your day like that. You have scripture read over you, and you can get go of the stresses of the day, hand them to God. They literally ask you to do that in this devotion if you haven't heard it before. You get a chance to repent and say sorry for anything you've done wrong that day. It's so powerful, and it sends me right off to sleep as well. It's like I'm literally by the end of it. I usually don't make it to the very last bit. I'm gone. But I sleep very well. you know, so there's just a few different options of what you can use to touch point every day with the Bible. Or maybe you're the other end of the spectrum to all of this, and you've read the Bible over and over, and you know passages off by heart. And if that's you, I salute you, because I'm definitely not anywhere near that. And then to some people who have done that, it starts feel like homework, reading the Bible. It's just something you do, and you have to do. And my husband tells me that's quite normal. He is a Bible reader. The Word is his go-to. And if you're an avid Bible reader, then I still challenge you to try and go deeper with God, because there's always levels to go deeper. Maybe it's a different Bible reading plan you need to do, or change the translation of your Bible to something to find something new in there. Or maybe you can help someone else understand the Bible better. Someone who struggles that you could sit with and explain passages, and they might challenge you with their thinking and their questions. So just something to ponder. Let's move on to silence. Now, at this point, Paul suggested I just stand there and wait. Silence. but this is something we've spoken about a lot in the last year or so, and I could spend a whole series talking about this, but we don't have time for that. So in short, in silence, we give up our right to make every moment about us and work for us. We give it to Jesus as a gift. It's a place of quiet surrender and encounter. I mean, you know, we all have so many distractions. We reach for distractions. We put background music on just because it might be silent. You know, we reach for our phone the minute we have nothing to do, or have like a quiet moment, we reach for our phone to just have that distraction and give ourselves distraction. But actually, Jesus is waiting for us in the silence and in the quiet. He retreated all the time into silence and solitude. In the Gospel of Luke, it mentions it 9 times. It's the do like Jesus did. In Luke 5:16, it says, but Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. He withdrew to a quiet place to pray and be with God. So especially after a busy day, and sometimes foregoing sleep, because that's the only time he could find to be quiet. And don't I know that feeling? He had a rhythm of retreat and return, and he'd go and spend time with God so he could then go and give out. He didn't command us to do it either. He went and did it and then said, follow me. It's an invitation, not a command from him. But it's the do like Jesus did. I remember especially Jonathan talking about this and saying this was a practice that really, really helped him. And every time he spoke about it, he was in my small group at that time as well. Every time he spoke about it, I thought, oh, I'd love that. I really want some of that, but I just cannot see how this can work for me. I mean, as you can imagine, we are a rather busy household with 3 children. And silence is not something that happens very often. And my alarm goes off at 4:50 a.m. every day. So getting up earlier, quite a push. I work from 5 till 7 in the morning before the kids get up. So getting up even earlier was not on my agenda, but God had other plans. He started waking me up early. It took me quite a while to work out that this was what was happening. And then I argued with him and groveled and, you know, kept turning back around for an hour. I know, an hour, right? 20 minutes, yes, okay, but an hour early? And then I had a fitful sleep for an hour, and in the back of my mind thought, oh, could I spend that better? And when I was away last Sunday, I could have slept till 8:30, which is a real luxury for me. And God woke me up at 11 minutes past 7. But for once, I was obedient and I got up. I got up. It was because it wasn't 4:30, it was 10 past 7. I was like, okay, I got up and actually used that hour I had before my alarm went off and had a bath and finished a book and, you know, looked at my Bible reading plan. And then I still had 7 minutes before the alarm went off to just be quiet with God. So I just sat and was quiet. And so many times when I'm obedient, he comes through and speaks to me. He didn't at first, though. That's the thing, though. I just sat there. And how many of us fear that when we are quiet, that God will actually not speak or that we won't hear him? And that was my internal excuse why I didn't do it very often. The external one being, I don't have time. But the internal one was fear, thinking, what if I don't hear anything? And when I sat there last Sunday morning, God said to me, but with a good friend, you can sit in companionable silence. Why don't you just sit with me? And that was such a light bulb moment for me, going, actually, I can do that. I can just sit here and be in your presence. And yeah, it takes me a while to get these things. So, but it took the pressure right off. And it also told me that I'm a friend of God. I'm like, this is brilliant. So now that has alleviated that fear of not hearing God and just being able to sit with him if I need to. And other times he comes right through. Like we did it at small group 2 weeks ago. We sat in stillness for 2 minutes before we started and God gave me a picture. Again, there's those moments when I realize I need to do this more often because I don't have the mental space or quiet to hear from him. And I do when I'm obedient and I'm quiet. So I just want to encourage you, try it. Because it's, you know, it's really, really helpful. And if you want instructions, this book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, has literally a set of instructions in there on how you can do it. Or you can go to the River Church website. In the media library, there's Anne Burgess's talk, One Day in Your Courts, where Jonathan does a small section on silence. And there's also a talk, if you type silence in, there's also a talk from Anthea and Marlo that you can listen to about it. So there's plenty of resources out there for you to get pointers. So I've been finding it really rewarding, so I'm sure you will do too. So let's move on to Sabbath, last but not least. On the Sabbath, we slow down for 1 day a week and spend it in increasingly awareness of the presence of God. And Jesus went to the synagogue on the Sabbath and he taught and he set that aside. I mean, God rested for a day. You know, he worked for 6 days and rested for one. If he needs it, how much do we need it? Again, we've spoken about this before and Marlo have just done a whole teaching series on it, which I've listened to and it's really helpful. So again, in the media library, you can go and find it. There's some really helpful practices you can find, one of them being a Sabbath box, which I thought was really good. You put your phones in it on airplane mode, but you also write down anything you didn't get done and any worries or anxieties, you write them down, put them in the box and leave them there. And when your Sabbath is finished, you can take them back out if you want to. You know, you don't have to take your worries back out. Some of you might have grown up with Sabbath. For some of you, it might be completely new. And for others, you might need to reinvent it to fit for your lifestyle and your family. But again, this book is really helpful. It's taken me 4 years and 3 attempts to read it. Because Carrie talked about this on 2020, I think January the 1st, like our first meeting 2020. I bought it very obediently and then tried 3 times to finish it. I always get to the chapter on Sabbath and then wouldn't be able to get past it because I just couldn't see how this could work for us as a family. You know, I've got a shift working husband, I've got 3 young children. I work around Paul, so when he is off, I work. And I just couldn't see how this could possibly work for us. But then, well, I couldn't see a way. God did. So a little while ago, I realized that actually we had stopped doing things on a Saturday morning. We had I stopped doing park run at 9 o'clock on a Saturday. We were sleeping in, we were having breakfast together as a family and spending family time together. And I can't believe how long it took me to realize we have Sabbath space right there. Sometimes God has to wave at me with a fence post. I don't know if that's an English saying, but it's a German one, so I'm going with it, before I can see what he's doing. But it was, you know, we have Sabbath right there. So we had a family meeting because we want everyone to be on board and everyone's up for it. So watch this space and how this develops for us as a family and how we can have a Sabbath, because it's completely new for us. We've never done anything like this before. The most important things I've taken away from all the teaching and I've read and listened to about Sabbath is that it's 24 hours of rest where we stop working, wanting, and worrying. It's for rest, delight, and contemplation, and allowing God's love to renew us. So if you're still on the fence with Sabbath, maybe read this book or listen to one of those teachings, because they'll make you hungry for it. They certainly did me. It was something I really, really wanted, and I couldn't see how this would work. But now enough about me and my struggles. What are you struggling with? You know, what is it that you want but can't see how it could possibly be done or be done more or better? From my experience, I find that as long as I am willing, God will make a way. And, you know, look at all these things like how the Sabbath happened and how I now have time to read my Bible or, you know, the lecture evening devotion. It's all those things that God gave me because I wanted it. Just because I couldn't see how it could work, he did. And maybe having to go to bed earlier because he wakes me up earlier. But, you know, we work around it. Maybe you need to look at how you spend your time in the week, because you'd be surprised and how much time you might be able to carve out to spend with God. It might mean having a log for the week, just to see where are you spending your time, and it might surprise you. It's like, going from my own experience, it's like, do I really have to check the weather for Thursday or beat another level of Royal Kingdom? I love that game. Or, you know, finish the latest series on Netflix. It's all time that we could actually be spending with God. And as I said at the beginning, we want you all to grow deeper with God, whether you've been a Christian for 5 minutes or 50 years. It's for everyone. And this is step one in the discipleship journey of be, become, and do. Finding those streams that make your river go deeper. And it's something Jesus modeled really well. And then he said, follow me. So let's follow him and do as Jesus did. Just one piece of advice, don't try it all at once. It's a bit overwhelming. And, you know, we have a really gentle God that wants to, you know, bring you into his presence, but not as a German would. While the band comes back up, there's your cue. While the band comes back up, I'd like you to ask God on what he wants you to start, put down, or pick up again. And then let him point out how he wants you to do that. So I'll be over at the prayer place just for that. So if anyone wants any extra prayer, then please do come and find me and any of the team. But I just want to pray for you before we go back into worship, and you can have some time with God just to ponder any of these that might have spoken to you. So Father God, I lift up this wonderful church family to you. Lord, you see their heart's desires. You see their downfalls and their challenges, and Father, I pray that you help them, just like you helped me, to become closer to you, grow deeper with you, and speak to them and how you want them to do that. Let them be watered by your Spirit to grow more like Jesus, so that they can't help but bring life where we live, and we can flood Maidenhead with your goodness.